Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. We want to thank you for joining Atlanta's AWM live radio broadcast, and we thank you for taking your time, your lunch break, your time with us another Friday. We just wanted to say thank you, and we just want to again give a special thanks to our author of I Win, I Am a Survivor, Margaret L. Moore, who joined us as our featured guest speaker last Friday. We just want to send thanks, and thanks to all of you who came to show your support. And we do apologize for some of you who were not able to get on. We'll definitely, we wanted to make sure that we addressed that to you. And again, we thank you for your support with us on this Friday. So we just want to go forward in this day, and we thank God for all that he has blessed us to do and even to see this day. And with today's broadcast, the title is in reference to our ideal mate. And then a thought comes in, whereas in reference to a woman seeking a man, but the ideal mate is for a man seeking a woman. But the example that I wanted to use is that I'm pretty sure all of us are very familiar with the phrase, looking for my Boaz, or I want my Boaz. And again, this topic is not in reference to just women. That phrase is in reference to, as a whole, your ideal mate. It's your ideal mate. So because of that, I wanted to take us to the Word of God in 2 Ruth, verse 1 through 10. And I'll read, I actually wanted to go to verse 2, and it says, "And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out into the field and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'The Lord bless you,' they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, 'Who does that young woman belong to?' The overseer replied, 'She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter.' So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled.' Verse 10, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?'" And I want to stop there, because in reading those verses, there was a few, and again, there are many different elements. If you are familiar with the book of Ruth, and as we are talking about our ideal mate, there are many different qualities, characteristics, and all those different elements that we are looking for. But the one thing that I know, that for some of us, we admire others. With social media being on such an upwind, an upward illumination where everybody is involved in it. And the one thing I wanted to encourage all of us, and knowing that it's okay to admire others, but the one thing is that sometimes we could want something that someone else has that is best for them. It may not necessarily be what we need for ourselves, or even what we even want for ourselves. if we really got an opportunity to get to know that person or that couple that we admire. So the purpose of today is to just encourage all of us to know about our ideal mate is for you, is for the individual, not an idea or an image of what we admire or what we are so fixated on because that person or that couple seems to be so happy and that they just seem to have everything that I would want, which is great. Don't get me wrong. I admire others, couples, married couples. It's nothing wrong with that. But the key of it is that we don't want to miss what is for us. And the thing of it is that if we don't learn how to first identify for us, we can put that image or that perception of what we may have expected of somebody else and put it towards us and have this image that he has to be like this, he has to be like that, or she has to be like that, she has to do that, and all those different things, which is nothing wrong to have desires of what you're looking for, but have it be based on you and not an ideal image of what you've seen or what you've witnessed, because that person may be the best person for whom they're with and could be giving you a living nightmare because it's not for you or it's not for me. So that's the purpose for today. And out of those 10 verses I've mentioned, there were a few different key points that stood out to me, and that was respectful, protector, provider, and the fact that he saw her for who she is. And again, that all those different key points, because there are many different key points, but these are just a few that we can apply to us in being able to identify the characteristics of who is our ideal mate. And again, looking at respectful, again, taking a moment and looking back at Israel's history during that time, the Moabites and the Israelites had a big disagreement. There was a feud going on between them. So there was a great dislike between the two nations. And so the fact that when we look at how Boaz initially approached Ruth, knowing she was from, how we can put it, she's from the enemy side, he never judged her because of who she was. In other words, we can translate that from her past, from our past. He respected her. And because he respected her, he did not allow for where she came from to be a reason why he would treat her any less or treat her any different, because that is the kind of person. That is his characteristics. That's who he is. And so that also translates for us today. When that ideal mate approaches, crosses our path, that's something that is something to be, to recognize about them. Do they have that kind of characteristics? Do they yet respect me? And because, again, like all of us, we have a past. We have old behaviors and habits, people that we used to run with, how we may used to dress, how we may used to act, the different things that we used to do, choices we used to make, places we used to go that we don't do anymore. But the person that who is our ideal mate is not going to disrespect us. They're not going to approach us with this preconceived notion of identifying you without even knowing you. They're not going to do that. Because whatever our past is, our ideal mate will see our hearts. They will respect us and not disrespect us by labeling us or treating us based upon a preconceived notion without actually knowing who we are. And that's what we saw with how Boaz addressed Ruth. And that's the same thing what we can look for. Because again, yes, we're human. We look at the outside. But beyond that, it's kind of like when you marry someone, you ain't going to marry the car. You ain't going to marry all of that. Yeah, they'll be a part of the package to a certain degree. But you're going to have to look at that person in the face. You're going to have to look at them in the day, deal with them at night. You're going to have to deal with who they are. And being able to identify what you need and what's of value to you, that's what you are committing to. Because if not, that car, home, money, all of that means nothing because they may be the most selfish person in the world. They may have jiggled their pockets to get your attention, but the reality of it is they're probably the most selfish person. They don't want to give you anything. They don't want to do anything unless it's on their terms or unless they get something out of it for themselves, not because of who you are. And so that is something to be able to identify because all of us want to be respected. All of us want to be appreciated for who we are. Because, look, all of us have issues and things of our past, and none of us want to be looked at through a magnifying glass, calling those things out when Christ has given us to know that we have been forgiven of those things. So seeing that characteristic in that person is something that we would want to look for, to identify in that other person. And then the other thing is a protector. And then when we look at protector, we also look at that they will have the ability and the desire to protect you. And when we think of protector, we think of a person who, you know, who can be able to stand in the middle of you, between you and, you know, the battle and all of that, which is great. We definitely will want that. We want somebody who has the ability to protect us. If there's something going on around us, their instinct is to protect us. That's first and foremost when it comes to a protector. But also, can he protect or can she protect your mind? Can they protect your heart? Do they protect your heart by when you come to them with how you feel? Do they disregard it? Do they dismiss it? And so concerned about their day and what they're confronted with, but they don't even listen to what you have to say. Do they value your ideas? Do they come to you and value what you have to say about a situation? Do they protect your heart and how you feel? Do they degrade you because of expressing of how you feel? Do they tear you down? Or do they build you up? That's, a protector is not just a person who's just strong and who can physically do, but now can you protect your heart? And again, this is not just in reference to a man. This is about a woman as well. As women, it is our also, are we protecting his heart? Are we respecting him? Are we doing those things? Because again, like I said, this is not just in reference or geared towards women. This is about people, period. Our ideal mate. Do they have the capability and the desire to want to protect us? Understanding that their motive is to ensure that you are safe. Do they display that when you're in their presence and you're sharing with them? Or you got this idea that you want to share with them? Do they create that environment by giving you their undivided attention, putting away the phone, putting away the distraction, and giving you their undivided attention to let you know I am protecting your thoughts right now. I am protecting your heart that you know that I am giving you myself. Do they give you that? Because that is important. It shows where their heart is concerning you. Because, again, they are concerned about your well-being, not just opening the door, like I mentioned, but about your mind, listening to you, what you have to say, and not abusing your thoughts or by tearing you down, but have a desire to build you up, that they will actively listen to what you have to say. They will take in what you are expressing to them. And if it's something that hurts you, they hurt with you. And they have a desire of wanting to know, what do I do to be able to help you in this? How can I be there? Whether it be, I'm going to be here to listen. I have an idea that can possibly help you. I can pray with you. Whatever it is that you need, that person has a motive and a desire to ensure that they are protecting your well-being. And then also, they want to assure you with all of that, through all the things that they're doing, they are confirming to you that I'm in your corner, that I'm there with you. I want to protect your heart. I want you to express how you feel and with the confidence that I'm going to be here to protect that and not to tear you down, but to build you up. And the next thing is provider. And yes, we understand that provider is one who can pay, but also there is a lot more when it comes to provider. And if you're putting out, this is another thing, if you're putting out more time, more money, and you're getting nothing in return, that needs to be evaluated, re-evaluated. Because that sometimes can cause a strain, stress, not being able to sleep at night, not even really wanting to interact with that person as you once did or as you desire to. Because it's mentally draining, it's emotionally draining, you're providing, you're doing, and you're sacrificing, but you're getting nothing in return. That is emotionally and psychologically draining. And that needs to be evaluated if any of us find ourselves in that, whether it be in a relationship of any kind. Because again, it's about balance. When something is off balance, then that scale needs to be recalibrated. A lot of our phones today are smartphones. There's a button that will say you need to recalibrate. Especially when you're using the map, sometimes you got to recenter. Sometimes we need to recenter some things in our relationship. Oh, is it balanced? And also looking at the provider, are they mentally, financially, physically stable to provide you in what you need? Because again, a provider, I'm going to talk about that financially because again, we all understand that. But can they provide for you mentally? Are they mentally stimulating you? If you are a person who desires to have, you have ideas, you like to share, you like to express, you like to be able to communicate and have that freedom, but they show no interest, they can care less, then that needs to be reevaluated. That person may not have what you need as your ideal mate to be able to provide for you. Because like I mentioned, if something is lacking, then that is going to be a strain. It's going to be draining upon yourself. And that's what we have to be careful. That's what we have to be mindful of, is understanding about those things, those qualities, those characteristics. That's what we have to be mindful of. That's what we have to be aware about in understanding, are they stable? Are they stable mentally, financially, physically, to be able to provide for you? That's one of the key things. Because if you have been in this place of preparation, of knowing how to be aware of yourself, gaining the knowledge of financial awareness, you're on that path physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, in all those areas to now be aware of ourselves, and that person cannot do that for you, then that means they are not able to provide for you. And again, another thing is, are they willing and wanting to include you in their lives? Are they willing to open up who they are and include you into that? Or are they okay with allowing you to always pour out, always give, always share, always this, always, and you are perfectly fine. They do not even bust a wow to lift a finger, to be an encouragement, to help, to be their supporter, no way, shape, or form. Then that is something that needs to be reevaluated. Or are they satisfied with that? They're satisfied with allowing you picking up the weight. And they have no desire. Because again, we understand that today's time, yes, we do need to have two income salaries, or if one is able to be the breadwinner. Yes, but my thing is recognizing this. Are they satisfied with staying on the couch all day? Are they satisfied with spending everything and not even giving an ounce of consideration of how that could be straining on the household or how that could be a burden on the other person. Are they okay with that? Because that means that they don't even have what it takes to be a provider. They're not even concerned about your well-being. They're okay with sitting there and allowing you to take up the weight. They have no concern for you, for me. And that is something to be aware about. And looking at, and now that we all need support, like I said, financially and all those things, but it's understanding, does that person, are they okay with not doing? Like, for example, a person may have a job and then they leave it. Are they okay? I thought, it's okay. I'm not even concerned about it. The bills will be taken care of. I want to try this. I want to do that. But no desire to provide. There is no drive. There is no, because there is a lack. There is an unstable. There is, they just don't want to. Just being honest. They just don't want to. And there are people out there like that. But we have got to be able to acknowledge it, to be aware of it, to identify it, so we can be able to know, is that person my ideal mate? Or is that a person who is not going to be able to give me the stability, who's going to give me the balance, who's going to give me what I need? And the last thing is that they see you for who you are. Like we saw in the scriptures, despite of where Ruth came from, despite of all of that, all the fault, flaws and faults, all those things, and the feud between Israel and the Moabites, he yet saw her for who she is. Her love for her mother-in-law, her care, her sacrifice. He saw who she was. Not her past, not her fault, not all of that. Because like I said before, we all have all of that. We have some experiences that none of us even want to even speak about. None of us even want to honestly even recall it, let alone want somebody else to know about it. So despite of all of that, our ideal mate sees us beyond our faults, beyond our issues, and for who we are. And because of all of that, they yet have a desire for you. They yet have a desire for wanting the best for you, for me, for us. And they want the best for themselves. They want to be best. They want to motivate you. They want to be a motivation even for themselves, because they see something that is greater despite of what our past, despite of where we may have come from. Because the one thing that hurts the most is that when you've gotten to the place of forgiving yourself, sought God's forgiveness, you've moved beyond the past, you've come to the place of recognizing and embracing. And one of the things that I've heard the author of I When I Am a Survivor speak about is being our authentic self. That was one of the things that was said last week. And when we come to that place of being our authentic self, knowing our personality, coming into an awareness of who we are, then we're able to be our authentic self. We're no longer burdened or bound or held back by our past or the things that we've done, but we've come to the place of being able to forgive ourselves, move forward, and to be our authentic self. And the one thing we don't want is to go through all that process and then be with someone who wants to pull all that stuff up when you have moved past it, who wants to try to throw things in your face of how you used to be, what you used to do, where you used to run at, and all those different things. So being able to identify the characteristics of that kind of person, you know how to make a different choice. And to identify, yeah, you may have this, this, and this, but I know this part of you is not going to be equivalent to who I am, and it's going to be a problem. But if we don't identify it, and being able to identify those different key elements of who we are desiring for us, we'll miss it. And we'll end up getting someone who is not going to work. it's not going to be successful. But in the end, it is going to cause us to be in a situation, to be in a circle. So again, these key points is to hopefully encourage all of us. And when we are desiring our mate, it's okay to admire what other people may have. It's okay to admire the couples and the marriages that we have seen, but identify the qualities that you need so you can be able to recognize that ideal person for yourself. Because all that has been said today is embodied in Christ. And I know that it is hard at times when we are before the manifestation, but I can guarantee you this, you will be even more well-equipped now than you will than you were before to be able to handle the promise. And so I want to close with these last two points in I Win, I Am a Survivor on page 178. And the first one reads, resolve to rethink the things you believe you can't do and do them. Let go of your old way of thinking. That's what I want to mention on that. Let go of how you used to be. Let go of your old way of thinking. And identify for you. And like I said, it's okay to admire people. There's nothing wrong with that. But what about you? What about you? Rethink your old thoughts and believe you can have the best for yourself, even if you think it's not possible. It first starts with our own thoughts. And the second thing, resolve to recognize your personal gifts and talents and make them useful. Know what you bring to the table is not like the next or couple. It's uniquely you, no matter what it is. Even if you don't think you bring anything to the table, I guarantee if you sit down long enough and take time with yourself long enough, you will be able to identify your uniqueness. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you're a person who is inquisitive, whether you're a person who wants to protect or want to help, whatever that talent or gift is, it's uniquely yours. And your ideal mate is going to complement that. But if we reject it because we think it's not like the next person or what this couple has, we will forfeit what is viable to bring to the table. And understand it's yours. It's beautiful, and it is worthy of being a part of another person's life. So I want to end it there and know that who you are and what you are desiring, what you desire to have for yourself and who you are is beautiful and it's worthy enough. So you have what it takes to receive the best. So I want to leave you with that. And hopefully you will be encouraged that these key points will be able to be an encouragement to you. So I thank all of you for taking your time, for taking your energy, and even supporting us another week. We want to say thank you. We pray for all of you to be safe and protected no matter where you are. We thank all of you. So thank you again. We thank God for this opportunity. Be blessed.